Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, April 24th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the opposition African Development Party says it is willing to go into a strategic coalition with other opposition parties that share their same values ahead of the 2018 general elections.
We are open to discussions with any political party that is democratic and that shares our values and that wants to see a prosperous Zimbabwe.
Human traffickers in Kuwait and Zimbabwe have taken to social media to lure unsuspecting young girls and women from both the urban and rural areas to the Arab country under the pretext of lucrative jobs and better opportunities.
I was supposed to be a waitress. Then the agents of Kuwait, they took me to be a housemaid.
Health experts urge people to stick to healthy traditional diets and exercise in order to fend off diabetes and other diseases.
We are pretty much concerned about the effects of climate change that our government is actually being reluctant in implementing the solutions we've actually proposed to them.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Satenda Gumbo. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The opposition African Development Party says it is willing to go into a strategic coalition with other opposition parties that share the same values ahead of the 2018 general elections. The president of ADP, Marceline Chikasha, says her party has made great strides in increasing its membership and will continue to nurture this growth. Chikasha tells us more on the issue.
African Democratic Party is gaining momentum. I think what we initially started doing, which was to spread into all the provinces very quickly and try and have structures in all the provinces very quickly, proved to be not the best strategy at the time. So we now decided that we'll focus province by province and constituency by constituency. So we've been growing steadily now using that strategy. So I think we are well prepared for 2018. We're definitely doing very well because we're setting up teams that can really work. And once each province has been set up and the teams are running with the work, we move on to the next province. And one of the things that we've learned as a small party is it's not very wise to spread yourself too thinly in the beginning. So have strong structures and work province by province. And this strategy is proving to be a really good strategy for us. We're gaining a lot of support.
Are you looking at going into any coalition with other opposition parties? Because we've heard of so much talk on the ground that most of the opposition parties are looking at having a coalition ahead of 2018. What's your position on this?
We are open to discussions with any political party that is democratic and that shares our values and that wants to see a prosperous Zimbabwe. So we will definitely dialogue with anyone who shares the same values as us in the interest of bringing about a new and better Zimbabwe for everybody.
Has anybody approached you? Any opposition parties, have they tried to engage you at all so far?
We just had informal discussions, but nothing concrete as yet.
And which parties are these?
I'm not at liberty to say at the moment, but I have spoken to a couple of leaders and we've thrown the idea about, and we've actually always come across and said we're very open to the idea. Should a coalition be formed at any point in time, we would actually like African Democratic Party to be considered as part of that coalition if we share the same values as the other political parties that would participate in such a venture.
That was it. The president of ADP, Marceline Chikasha. Human traffickers in Zimbabwe have taken to social media to lure unsuspecting young girls and women from both the urban and rural areas to Kuwait. under the pretext of lucrative jobs and better opportunities were trafficked to Kuwait by agents in both countries, and over 20 have been repatriated after suffering inhumane treatment in Kuwait. 22-year-old Leah Murimira is one of the young girls who managed to escape her abusive employer and is now in a shelter in Kuwait, awaiting repatriation to Zimbabwe. She tells us she was lured from rural Mondoro and is appealing for travel assistance as her parents cannot afford to buy her a ticket. We hear more on her situation.
I saw the agent in Zimbabwe. His name is called Edgar Gora. When I came in Kuwait on the 9th of March, and I stayed here for 1 month only in Kuwait.
When you left Zimbabwe, what were you told you were going to do there?
When I came in Kuwait, I was supposed to be a waitress. Then the agent of Kuwait, they took me to be a housemaid.
And how were you treated as a housemaid?
They were not treating me good. I spent the whole day working, and I had 4 hours only to have rest. All right, then my parents, they find the number of the embassy thing they gave me. Then I started to talk to the one of the members of the Zimbabwe embassy in Kuwait. He told me what to do to be safe.
So what did you do then?
Okay, now I'm in shelter, but I'm not safe in the shelter because there's a shortage of water and food also.
And when you were there being employed, how much were you paid?
They told me that when I came to in Kuwait, I was supposed to be paid $500 per month.
But when you got there, how much were you paid?
$250.
Where were you in Zimbabwe before you came to Kuwait?
I was in Mondoro.
What
rural
were
you, area.
How did you get this message when you were in the rural area?
Message for coming in Kuwait?
Yes.
I get that message through my friend. He's called Joshua.
You mean through WhatsApp or what?
Through WhatsApp.
What would you like to see happen?
My wish is to come back home in Zimbabwe.
How are you going to travel? Were you able to take your passport?
No, she didn't give me my passport. She told me that I have to bring the ticket first, then she will give me my passport.
Who is this, your sponsor or your agent?
The Kuwait agent.
But do you have to pay any money before he releases your passport?
For me, she did not clarify, but I heard about the Zimbabwean, but they said if she told me so, she also needs money.
Your parents in a position to help you with the ticket or the money?
My family, they want me to come back home, but they don't have money to pay for the airplane.
That was a 22-year-old Leah Murimira, a Zimbabwean, from Mondoro, but now in Kuwait. Health experts urge people to stick to healthy traditional diets and exercise in order to fend off diabetes and other diseases. The Diabetes Association of Zimbabwe says 10 out of 100 people in the country have diabetes, but may be unaware as many people remain undiagnosed due to lack of knowledge about the disease. We hear more on the issue.
I'm Dr. J.C. Manguiro. I'm a specialist physician and I'm a specialist diabetologist, a diabetes specialist. I'm also a consultant physician at Kara Central Hospital. I work for the Ministry of Health, and also I do some work in private. The symptoms of diabetes are quite straightforward. Most commonly, these people appear to have lots of polyuria, which is passing lots of urine, polydipsia, which means drinking lots of water endlessly. They even can drink more than 5 gallons and pass loads and loads of urine. If it's type 1, they at times lose weight. And at times, these people have problems with sight. They don't see properly because there's too much sugar in their eyes. These people can also present with unhealing wounds or abscesses. If it's women, they can come with itching private areas, even the nails as well. They can also present with even a stroke because diabetes can cause strokes as well. And it can also appear with a heart attack or heart failure. This is very important because we should know that people with hypertension can also have diabetes, and the symptoms might confuse. But it's important for people to understand that diabetes really is a disease that can attack nearly every organ. These people can also even appear with TB, where there is infection. These people can also, if they are young women, they can appear failing to conceive or have deformed children who are born with, say, without with anencephaly, without head or something. So it's important that these people also know these symptoms, that diabetes does not only attack young people or old people, but anyone can be attacked by diabetes, yes.
And how can people stop themselves from getting diabetes? Is it a disease that can be controlled?
Type 1, there's nothing one can do, because it's an inborn error that these people have no functioning pancreas. But type 2, these people can actually control what they eat. They can control the amount of starch that they eat. They can control the amount of protein they eat. And they must exercise a lot so that they can burn up whatever energy is left over. And these people must, people can also learn to eat correctly, say, during the day, rather than Zimbabweans tend to eat lots of food and drink a lot at night and sleep and do nothing. So there is a tendency that most of the food that's left in the body will be reabsorbed and turned into fat. And once people are overweight, the fat leads to blockage and failure to function of the pancreas and the insulin that's produced, and then people end up with diabetes. So in short, people must eat properly healthy food, more of vegetables and fruit, and avoid these starchy foods. They must eat appropriate amounts, not overeat, and eat correct time and exercise a lot. They can have these symptoms regress. Those who have pre-diabetes may not develop the diabetes, and those who have diabetes might even end up without symptoms if they lose equal or enough amount of weight.
That was Dr. John Mangwiro of the Diabetes Association of Zimbabwe speaking to us from Harare. Some youth in the diaspora have challenged the government and other stakeholders in the fight to end climate change not to forget their contribution. President Robert Mugabe was in New York last week, where he became signatory to the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. Stephen Wunganai of the Global Youth Foundation Zimbabwe says the youth were given a place to contribute their views at the United Nations in New York yesterday, and he expects member countries, especially Zimbabwe and Africa, to also respect their views. Wunganai, who was at the New York meeting, tells us more on the issue.
It's one of the platforms that is actually a developmental cause in as far as climate change that has also affected our country, Zimbabwe, a lot. And climate change has had a lot of negative impacts, affecting even the economy itself. And the fact that we are part also of this platform or signing of this Paris Agreement is quite a development in terms of taking action towards climate change. So I applaud that.
And what role do you play as the youth, especially representing Zimbabwe?
We are really trying to push the Zimbabwean youth to put the country on map, and also to be the voice of the voiceless in as far as own Zimbabwean youth are concerned. And we are also trying to be on the highest world platforms in engaging world leaders to also turn their eyes on our country and to address the challenges that we are facing as the Zimbabwean youth and also as the country at large.
What are some of these challenges that you're facing that you, representing Zimbabwe and other African youth, would like to see addressed, especially by your own governments?
We are pretty much concerned about the effects of climate change that our government has actually been reluctant in implementing the solutions we've actually proposed to them, and using, you know, the United Nations and other international agencies that are involved in climate change. Our country at most has faced a lot of unpredictable weather patterns that has actually affected our agricultural sector, hindering our economy. We have seen the right multitude of unemployment of the youth as well. We've been pushing the government in implementing the action practicable solutions in addressing these challenges. And we've been engaging other African nations and other African youths in addressing these challenges, not only as Zimbabwe, but also as African countries and also as African youth.
Take us through some of these solutions that you, as the youth, are actually recommending your governments to take for you, for example, Zimbabwe and then Africa in general.
We've been pushing for our governments economically to be financing climate change mitigation programs. And we have been looking back in Zimbabwe, we have been really trying to push the Minister of Environment to really improve on small-scale productivity with provision of irrigation schemes and also addressing the challenges that are being faced by the youth, which are necessarily being caused by climate change. So these are other solutions we have been pretty much pushing. And we have also been engaging other international agencies to really work with our government. And the proposals that these international agencies like the World Bank that I work with, we've been having proposals that are being sent to government, like our own government of Zimbabwe, references and recommendations that would need them to be implemented. But they haven't really been given much attention with our own governments, our own African governments. So we have really been trying to create a relationship between youth organizations that are working within Zimbabwe, within Africa, and working with other international agencies to really create a relationship with our own local governments as well.
That was Stephen Wunganayi of the Global Youth Foundation Zimbabwe speaking to us in New York. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I continue my conversation with Sydney Chisi, Director of Youth Initiative for Democracy, as he discusses some of the challenges that young people are facing in Zimbabwe, but more so, what the next struggle is that young people should be pushing to better Zimbabwe. As Sydney says, for many young people, it's an issue of their social and economic prosperity that is boggling them down.
And you want to think or say, what is next for such kind of a young person? You bump into a young woman and she's struggling not only to survive in a very patriarchal community, but also in a world that she needs to survive under very harsh conditions that would come either socially or economically. So the socio-economic issues are the issues that are bogging down and that are affecting young people, and they've got an impact on the same that they will not even go and participate politically, because they'll tell you to Sydney, no, actually, you can't come here and talk about the Constitution. You can't even come here and talk about the rule of law.
A world over, you know, young people, of course, are majority, the demographic, you know, in terms of population. And I think the struggles, as you're pointing out, are very similar. But, you know, in the spirit of independence, what is your message to young Zimbabweans?
No, I think the message is the message of hope, that all things come to an end. And the last kicks of a dying horse, they are always deadly. Some people will definitely not see a liberated Zimbabwe. But when we do things that we do as young people, let us not do those things for us to benefit. Let us not think about our kids. The people who went to war, they did not really go to war for them to become presidents. The people who went to war for the real cause, they went to war to make sure that Zimbabwe was liberated. Only those who went as opportunists are the ones who went and said, okay, fine, after independence, where will I be and what course am I going to get? So as young people, we still need to continue demanding for accountability, to continue to demand for transparency from every quarter, your local council, your chief, your headmaster, whoever that you want to take. But also all those things, they need to come with a level of responsibility. So as young people, we need to ensure that we remain responsible in everything that we do, so that when we put our mark, we will not be dismissed and say, those are the behavior of young people. Young people have to be responsible for their present. They also have got a generational mandate.
And with that, Sydney, I want to say thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you, Tatenda, and have a nice day.
That was Sydney Chisi, Director of Youth Initiative for Democracy, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, hoping you'll join me next week.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930. 13860 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.